right, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 78 with me. I was thinking that we need to have a guitar pick off some of these days. We got a lot of folks picked a guitar here. My granddaughter has started playing the guitar, and they wanted her to play for me last night, and I'm kind of like when the baby talks. If they tell me what she's playing, I know it. But tonight I want you to look at Psalm 78 with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask you might tonight take this word tonight and you might speak to all of our hearts. You might lead us and guide us and direct us by your Spirit. Tonight that we might lift up Christ and we might lift up tonight what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. That he might be exalted and glorified in our lives each and every day. For all that you do tonight, Lord, we want to praise you and thank you in his name. Amen and amen. Psalm 78 is a summary of the nation of Israel during their exodus, during their time of enslavery in Egypt, and then their deliverance along the way, the exodus that they went on to cross over into the promised land. That's basically what Psalm 78 is, and it's a very wonderful and great summary of that time. And God depicts in this particular psalm many of his great works, many tonight of the miracles, many of the powerful things that he did for that nation during this time. And in kindly the middle of the chapter, we find a very verse that tonight I want to share with you, and we're going to kindly use that this evening as our text. I want you to look at it very carefully, and it's a very unusual thing that God says here in the book of Psalms, something that we would not think would be possible, yet we find that it is. Here it says in Psalm 78, in chapter 78, in verse 41, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Now that's a very unusual thing. It would seemingly be impossible to limit God. But yet we find that here, God says to you and I tonight, as the psalmist was speaking to those people of his day, and as he was depicting the people of the past, he said that they had the capability of limiting God, of not allowing God to do all that he wanted to do in their lives. I sometimes wonder if we realize how that we can limit God. I'm not speaking here to, and he's not speaking here to, people who are not saved, who are not Christians tonight, but he's speaking here to those who were his people. And God is speaking to his people tonight and saying that we as God's people can sometimes limit what he does in us and through us and for us. I think he speaks not only as individuals, but he speaks to us sometimes corporately as God's people, as we gather as a church, that we can limit what God does through us, for us, and to us this evening. And so I want you to think about that for just a moment this evening, that how can we limit God? How can we limit the finite God of the universe, the Almighty, the all-powerful God, the Jehovah Jireh tonight? How can we limit him? Well, there are many ways tonight that are, of course, set forth in this particular psalm and I think other portions of Scripture, but I want to just share a few of them with you this evening. And I think the very first thing that we limit God and how that we can limit God is through doubt and unbelief. The psalmist says in verse 19, he said, yea, they spake against God. They said. Now here we're speaking against God. You say, I would never do that. I would never say a bad word against God. I would never say a bad word about God. Well, listen to what the psalmist says that these people said. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God? You know, sometimes while we do not speak in a direct way and maybe the words are not coming out of our mouth within our heart, sometimes I'm afraid I say, can God? I have to say, can God really do this? Sometimes, to be fair, I have to say to you this evening that I have some doubts. Can God? Can God furnish a table here in this wilderness? They saw that God had did in the past. They had saw that how that he had opened the Red Sea and allowed them to pass on dry land. How he had destroyed their enemies in the midst of that sea. They had saw his miraculous deliverance from the land of Egypt. They had saw all the things that God had done that's enumerated for us in the first few verses of this psalm. And yet, when all of this was done and said this evening, and God says something else, then they turned back and said, wait a minute, can God? You know, sometimes we think about our lives and we look back tonight, and if you were to sit down this evening and not just count your blessings, but count the things that God has done for you. Count tonight the wonderful, miraculous things that God has brought you through in this world this evening. I'm sure that every individual here tonight could say that at some time or the other, God has done a miracle for them. God has tonight answered a prayer. God tonight has done a mighty and a powerful thing in their life. And yet sometimes do we really say, can God? You know, that begins to limit what God can do because we're doubting that God can do something this evening. George Mueller was a great missionary, a great preacher of yesteryear, and he ran an orphanage, and I forgot how many particular orphans that he had, somewhere around 500 or 600 at a time. And he never solicited donations. He simply prayed to God that God would meet their needs. Once upon a time, he was going to a place to speak, and as he was there going in a great man of prayer, a great fog moved in. And they were unable to get the ship out of the harbor and into the ocean. They came down and told Mr. Mueller, and Mr. Mueller bowed his head and began to pray, and the captain of the boat said, wait just a moment, I'll pray with you. And Mr. Mueller said, don't bother. He said, what do you mean don't bother? He said, number one, I don't need you. Number two, you don't really believe God can do it, and I do. Do we really believe that God can do what we ask? The book of Ephesians says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And yet tonight, maybe we're limiting God in our lives because we're saying, really, can God do that? Can God do that? Can God do these things in our lives? I sometimes wonder if we do it individually, and sometimes maybe we think as a church, well, you know, God can't use us. We're just a small congregation in the middle of the hills of Mississippi, and God can't really use us. Can God? I believe God can use us, don't you? I believe tonight God can. God tonight is the great God of the universe. I mean, if he can dry up the Red Sea, and drown the Egyptian army as they attempt to cross after the children of Israel tonight. If he can provide for them and do all that he did for the nation of Israel, as the psalmist records for us here, I believe that God can do for us what we need to see. Sometimes I'm afraid that we limit God by saying, can God? Can God do this? Can God do that? Yes, he can. We don't want to limit God tonight by doubt and unbelief. I think there's another thing that we limit God tonight. We sometimes limit God because of fear. That's actually in our text verse to this evening. Here the psalmist said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They turned back. They tonight were fearful. Sometimes we're fearful. I sometimes think that sometimes we're afraid that God can. But we're fearful tonight sometimes, aren't we? We're afraid of what might happen if we step out by faith. There's a parable over in the Gospels where Jesus talked about a man who was given, one was given 10 talents and one 5 and one 1. And when the master came back to check upon the results of what they had done with what he had given them, the one with 10 had earned 10 and the one with 5 had earned 5, and the one with one came running in with his one and said, I knew that you were a very harsh man. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's basically what he was saying. And he said, so I was afraid, and I went and hid mine in the ground, and here's the one that you gave me. And of course, that didn't suit the master. I wonder sometime this evening if I'm not that way. If I'm not tonight afraid that step out by faith and do for what God really wants us to do and want me to do. Sometimes I'm afraid tonight that I am fearful. Did I say that right? I'm afraid I'm fearful. Huh? But fear tonight. We're afraid. Sometimes I'm thinking of what others might even say about us this evening. I talked to a pastor not long ago, and he and I were talking and about a certain thing, and he said, I was sitting talking to the deacons one day, and this was a pretty large church, I think. He said they had 36 deacons, and I thought, Lord, have mercy, but anyway. He said they all agreed on this, but they didn't want to do it because they were afraid of what other churches around them would say. Sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid of what somebody might say about us or what somebody might think about us. Sometimes I have to look at my own self and I say, well, why do I do this? Well, I'm afraid somebody might not like what I do. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not here to try to be offensive or anything, but, sometimes we're going to have to say, if this is what God wants us to do, and it offends the whole world, we're going to have to do it. We need to do it tonight. I used to have a friend, and he was from up in the Carolinas, and I told him one time we were talking, and I said, about these kind of things, and he said, well, talk real slow. He said, I tell you, just made up my mind long time ago, fit hair lips the devil, I'm just going to do what the Lord wants me to do. And I thought, sometimes that's what we need to do. But sometimes we're afraid, aren't we? We're afraid to step out by faith because maybe we're afraid that God won't provide for that. Maybe we're afraid tonight of what somebody might say about us. We're afraid of this and afraid of that. Not really realizing that God can take care of every part of that of our life. Been through a few battles in my life, been through a few things in my life, and the one thing I have discovered, that if I do what God asks me to do, now listen to me very carefully, if I do what the Lord asked me to do, he always takes care of it. I mean, I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but because all of that's past and God was good. But I can remember a couple of real vivid incidents, and one where a man had me up by my tie, you know. And the Lord said, I'll take care of it. And he did. Listen to me. If we'll do what the Lord asks us to do, we don't have to be worried about it. We don't have to be fearful about it. We just have to live within his will. And I'll assure you of this one thing. He will take care of it. Might not be the way we thought he would, but he'll take care of it this evening. Fear. We limit God when we're afraid. I think there's another one that we need to think about for just a moment this evening. Look at verse number 56. Yea, they tempted and provoked the Most High God. Boy, I'll read that. That's kind of a terrifying thing. You know, we're during that season of the year when we begin to see a lot of snakes start crawling. Well, we were. We went back into winter time, but, you know, snakes were beginning to crawl. And there's one thing I really never want to do. I don't want to provoke a snake, you know. And if I can see him and shoot him with a shotgun, that's fine with me. If I can hit him with a hoe or a Kaiser blade, a machete, or whatever I can find. But, you know, I don't want to stand there and poke at him until he wants to strike back at me. That's what provoke means. And I'm thinking, why would you provoke God? Boy, that's scary. That'd be more scary than provoking a rattlesnake to me. Yea, that yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God by how? And kept not his testimonies. They were just a disobedient people. They disobeyed God. They didn't do what the Lord asked them to do. You know, sometimes I'm afraid that I'm in the same predicament, maybe. I'm afraid that many times we look around our world and say, why aren't we being blessed by God? Maybe it's because we're not obeying God. I was talking the other day to a man. He and I were talking about some of the trends in Christianity and the things about churches and so forth. And I made the statement, I said, well, I think the greatest problem that I find amongst today's, and I hope this comes out right, religious or denominational leaders, is they fail to really obey God. And he looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, well, the Bible says, that tonight, if we want to see people saved and the churches grow, it's done by preaching the gospel, allowing the Holy Spirit to take that gospel and the power of God to work in people's lives and for us to pray. And I said, the more I hear everything else I hear coming from, whether it's Southern Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist and all of these religious denominations and religious headquarters tonight, and the great thing coming out of them is how to grow the church and all of the things that we must use and embrace. Now, I'm not against embracing things. I'm not, and I told him that. I said, you know, I don't mind doing things different if we need to do things different. That's not what I'm saying. But the thing that always gets me is you can't do it unless you do this. To me, that's saying that God can't do it. You see. It's not me doing it anyway. If I'm doing it, I'm not doing it. It's not, what's it worth? Not much. Not very much. But if God does it, it's done forever, isn't it? Don't you think about that. I mean, we could fill this church up, and I wish we could. But if we fill it up by doing things of different natures. And I'm not even going to call them games and gimmicks. I'm talking about different things tonight. You know what's going to happen if the things go? The people go. But if we fill it up tonight by preaching and praying and God's Spirit convicting folks and them getting born again by the grace of God, then the number one thing you need to understand, that's never going to leave. And so the people are going to stay. You know? If we tonight, and so we sometimes become a disobedient people because tonight we don't want to obey what God tells us to do. And that limits what God can do. God tonight is in some time limited through our own selfishness. We just don't want to allow God to work. We simply tonight are just selfish in our own desires and our own wishes. Tonight, the psalmist gives us a great history of the nation of Israel. And he said that they limited God. You know, the one thing we never need to do is to limit God in our life. I thought about several years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I had an old school bus, number 132. And it would do 49 miles per hour downhill with a tailwind. They had it limited. They had it governed. During the Christmas break, they worked on the bus for some reason or the other. So one day I'm coming down Highway 23. All the kids had done been let off, and I'm headed back to the school. As I go around, and just about the time I'm headed toward the bridge that separates Monroe County and Atawamba County, I look down, I'm doing 64 miles an hour. I was beginning to think, I thought there for a while, something wrong. Somebody took the governor loose. Hallelujah. I said that to say this. I think sometimes what we need to do is take the governor off God, amen, and just let him begin to work in our lives and our congregations. And how much greater we would be tonight. Let's not limit God. Let's take the governor off and let God work in our lives. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Rufus, you and Barbara, and come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time here together. We ask you, Mike, to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' name.